Welcome to the Kingdom Driven Family Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Schwartz, and I have the pleasure of speaking with a friend of mine, Marcy Oliver, who, along with her husband, Roger, serves as a missionary in Puebla, Mexico. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Andrea.
All right. Now, a lot of people are familiar with missionaries, but I think they're more used to people who start off their marriage when they're younger, maybe with young children, becoming a missionary. That's not your road to being a missionary, is it?
No, it is not at all.
So tell me a little bit about the road that got you to where you are today.
We married in 1970. Roger was finishing college, later went into the Army for 22 years, moved around, raised our two kids, and went off to seminary. And we realized that during our years in the Army that God was calling us into missions. And we just pursued that through going to the seminary and learning about different cultures. We lived in Honduras and we lived in Panama. And we've been in Mexico for 14 years.
All right, so let's backtrack a little
bit.
You said while he was in the service, first of all, what did he do when he was in the service?
He was an Army infantry officer. He was
so what does that mean to people who aren't familiar with the Army?
He was in paratrooper, airborne ranger, Green Beret. He was also a comptroller for the 82nd Airborne Division.
So as the wife of someone who did all this, were you traveling with him wherever he went, or were you often at home and he was away?
It was both, because there were times when he would be off and gone. But fortunately for us, it was the longest time he was gone, perhaps, was maybe 6 months at a time that he would be away.
Now, was it hard to raise your children with daddy there and then sometimes daddy not there?
Yeah, it was, because when he would come back home, after my having control of everything, it would be, okay, now he's in charge, he's taking control of this, I have to let go, and how do I let go, and do I want to really let go, you know, of some of those things. So yeah, there was always some kind of adjustments that we had to work with and deal with.
Now, did the children play off of that? In other words, daddy wasn't here, so at first it took you a while to gain control, and then when daddy came back, it was hard for him to have any sort of authority?
You know, it's been 20-some years now since we've been out of the Army, and we all have such really good memories of our time together. And I think there were those hard things for the kids, but we always were able to talk through a lot of stuff. We talked through a lot of issues and tried to handle them as we went. Sometimes we handled them good, and other times we didn't handle them so good.
Well, isn't that the story of most people who who have lived a long time? That's true.
Roger and I were never yellers and fighters verbally, so we never did that. And so I think that was something positive in our relationship, that we were able to talk through stuff.
Many people might find that surprising, since he was in the Army. They probably think of Army people as just giving everybody orders all the time.
No, it was not like that.
Well, that's good. That's very good. So you said in the midst of all this, you became convinced that God was calling you to missions. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows what it's like to hear from God and decide this is what, you know, God wants us to do. Spend a little time talking about how did you know that's what God wanted you to do?
For me personally, I always felt, even before I was married, that somehow, someday, I would be a missionary. And even in the military, I always kind of had that mindset that I was a missionary to my friends, to my neighbors, that I was always to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for Roger, when we came together, we had friends that were that were missionaries, and he had done a lot of traveling in Central America. So he probably had a more firm calling, but I knew that was not something foreign to me. I knew that was part of my desire to serve God, was to be a missionary as well. And God is not going to call Roger and not call me. And he's not going to call me to a different place than what he's called Roger. So I knew we would be together, wherever it would be.
So was there I think, if I remember correctly, Roger served a lot in Central America and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Is that where you sort of gravitated toward Mexico? How'd you end up in Mexico?
Well, it was obviously God's hand in leading us into Spanish-speaking countries. After we spent, well, Roger was 3 years in Honduras, and the family and I were, the kids and I were there for 2 years with him. And when we retired from the Army, it was from Honduras. And we just felt like that's probably where we would go back. We had a lot of friends, had a lot of contacts there in Honduras, and we just felt that's probably where God was leading us. Through the agency that we were going with at the time, they helped with some evaluations, and we realized that perhaps with our moms being widows, Roger's mom has since passed away, but we also felt, and with our kids still not married and not dependent on us, but yet, you know, we were parents. We're not going to just abandon them either. We felt like Mexico was closer to and easier to get home to if we needed to get home in a hurry. And that's some of the reasons why we are here in Mexico. But it is certainly, we can see God's hand in bringing us here.
So neither your mother or his mother when she was alive and your children were like, what are you guys doing? This is really a crazy idea. Were they pretty supportive of what you were going to do?
They have always been supportive. Our kids have known for a long time that that's what we were going to do when Dad retired from the Army and after he went through seminary, that we were going to go somewhere in the mission field. And because of the language, we figured it would be in a Latin, a Spanish-speaking country.
So do you speak Spanish pretty well?
I get by pretty well. To my shame, I don't speak it as well as I should.
How about Roger?
He's very fluent. He gets complimented all the time on his Spanish.
You know, what's interesting is that, especially nowadays, you find Christian families very, very purposefully wanting to make their families God-centered, etc. But a lot of times they get focused on the family is the end result. And from what you just said, it sounds like your children never had this sense that you thought that was the end of everything, that the family, instead of being a vehicle to do something, was an end in itself, which is kind of remarkable because a lot of people tend to be very nearsighted in that area.
Our kids have just, I think they're very verbal, and they tell us where their hearts are. And I think our daughter probably would like us to live closer at times, but she has seen what we're doing and the influence that we have, and she knows that we are right where we are to be. And our son does too. They've both grown so much since we've actually been away from them in the last couple of years.
And I know not too long ago, your son was down there helping out at the Learning Center, which we'll get into in a second, which is the focus of what it is you do. A lot of people, when they go into missions, Marcy, have to raise funds in order to do that. And it becomes an ever-ending fundraising thing for them to be able to stay where they're working. How did you guys handle living expenses and actually being able to be there?
We have been very blessed. And because of the Army, we are living off of Roger's retirement. We did raise some support, and basically that support goes to just what we're doing. And we'll get into that, I guess, in a little bit. But it is a challenge at times, and it is a hard thing to do, but certainly a necessary thing. But for us, we have been very, very blessed that we have Roger's retirement, and we're able to live off of that nicely.
Now, a lot of people look at retirement and say, oh, good, I've put in my time. Now the rest is vacation. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people would say you're taking a vacation because of where you live, but certainly the responsibility and the challenge you've undertaken is anything but a vacation. Would you agree?
I would agree, definitely. It's funny because I've never been more happier in my life.
That's great to hear. And I don't think a lot of people think about that on what would normally be called the retirement years. They think, well, you know, you have to go out to pasture, or there's nothing really valuable. So in where I live, a lot of women at the point at which their husbands, you know, are still working, but their children are grown, they go out trying to, quote unquote, find themselves and going back to school or looking for a career. But it sounds like a lot of what you do now in interacting with families and children there in Mexico, a lot of that experience came from raising children.
I would say that some of it did come from raising children. And probably my kids and my husband would say I'm really hard on myself. And there's probably some truth in that.
In your defense, in defense of a lot of women, none of us want to praise ourselves and say we did everything right. But I don't think that's really the standard that's put forth in Scripture. It's, yes, we're going to make mistakes. It's how we handle the mistakes we make, as opposed to embracing them as being right when time passes and we look back and we say, no, that actually wasn't the right way to handle that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah, raising kids is a wonderful calling, mission, job. It's just part of life. And I have learned more now in my life how to be a woman after God's own heart and how I could have done things differently. But by the grace of God, my kids are great kids. They're great adults. They're a contribution to life, to the world, to the areas of where they're living, and their husband, my daughter's husband, and our son is still single, but in his ministry too. They're really good kids.
That's great. And that's when you said everybody looks back and we remember the happy times. I think that's one of the blessings of God's grace in the family. As we learn to forgive each other the trespasses that are going to happen if you live with someone long enough, I think that the built into that formula is the way in which to look back and say, yeah, there were hard times, but I don't really remember them as well as I remember the good times.
That's true. That's very true.
So talk a little bit about the Learning Center. What is the Learning Center?
Well, the Learning Center is what we would kind of consider a homeschool co-op to some extent. That's the best way we can explain it. However, in the States, the co-op would probably have more parent participation in it than what our Learning Center has. We have 80 to 84 kids, and they go from preschool to through high school. We started this 3 years ago with six kids, and they were all in junior high. And we started it mainly because parents had come to us and wanted something else other than the public school system. And we had learned of a online Spanish homeschool system, and we researched it, and we started it with that, with these six kids. We didn't advertise or anything. It was just by word of mouth. The next year we had 47, and then last year we started with 96, but ended up with about 84. And they come to school. We were on a online program where they brought their computers, and we had moms that we would scholarship their kids, and we'd give them a little stipend each month. And it was just a homeschool. I mean, they would sit down and do their work, and we would have devotions in the morning. We would go over the Ten Commandments. We have the Westminster Catechism, or as we call it, the Basic Principles of the Christian Faith, that we would go over. Roger would have talks with the kids and read stories to the little kids, and it just kind of developed. We have some sports activities in the afternoons for them. A music program on one of the days. Some parents came in and gave some classes. And it's just taken off. We've got new kids coming in this year, and we are changing our system. We're going to ACE, which is Accelerated Christian Education. It's been in Mexico for 30 years. It's very stable. We have a lot of people that come and say, oh, I went through there. I went through that program, and I love it. And it's bilingual. So the parents are really encouraged about this.
One of the things that encourages me about the work that you're doing is that you've both explained to me that in the process of teaching the children the Ten Commandments, in the process of going through the catechism, that the parents are learning as well. And that on, I think, occasional Saturdays, you have parents' school.
We do. We have a Padre de Escuelas. Escuela de Padres, excuse me.
And so what goes on in the parents' school?
Well, we go over some of the concepts from mostly from Chalcedon and Rush Dooney's philosophy of Christian education. We go over principles of economics, what your book on the family. We've used that as the basis for a parent school. Just what does it mean to be a kingdom-driven family? We've used that as guidelines, marriage and divorce, Rush Dooney's concepts on that. We've used, usually we have anywhere from 30 to 60 people that will come to the parent school. And it's really very positive. They all ask. In fact, one of the moms just asked me yesterday, when was the next school for parents?
Now, people who are listening probably by and large are familiar with the thrust to homeschool in the U.S. It's a humanistic school system in Mexico. Do the families pay a price for not having their children in public school? Are they scorned by possibly neighbors or members of their church or things like that?
They're questioned more. I don't know if they're necessarily scorned by it, but they don't understand. Homeschool is not that big of a big thing here, and the public school system has so much control, where now that even your little three-year-old has to go to 3 years of kindergarten in order to get into a good public school when they're in first grade. It is really crazy, and the parents just are not, a lot of the Christian parents are not liking that at all. That the, Roger always says it's SEP, the SEP, is Satan. Satanas está presente. Satan is present in the system. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did answer my question. Thank you. So I've had the pleasure for, I'm not sure how long we've done it, but once a week I go to Mexico via Skype, and I've done an advanced English class with the high schoolers, and we have gone through some of Dr. Rush Dooney's books, Law and Liberty, and we're now working through a book on Christian psychology called Revolt Against Maturity. And even though it's a sort of an awkward setup, they're looking into a monitor and I'm looking into a monitor here, I'm always amazed at the depth of questions that some of them ask. They really are thinking, and they push the concept and say, well, if this is true, how about that? And sometimes Roger is in the class too, and there's some really excellent discussions. I'm really enriched to even be part of it.
The girls love it, and Sam too. Sam doesn't speak very much, but
well, it's hard to. He's got all those girls around him. I always joke with him and tell him he's getting ready for marriage.
No, but
get to talk so much.
I've talked to him on the side, and he says no. He says I'm understanding. I'm getting it. There are some things he doesn't always grab on right away, so we kind of clear up. But I said, you need to let your dad read some of this stuff too that he's reading.
Right. Mm-hmm. So just so the listeners understand, through various people over time, certain books have been translated into Spanish. And the first book we did, Law and Liberty, was translated a while ago. And so the kids first read it in Spanish, and then when they come to my class, we're now reading it in English. And so they're getting a chance. They read it out loud, and I can correct any pronunciation and if they don't understand something. And you know, at first I thought, I don't know that anybody's getting anything out of this, until I would say, do you have any questions? And then there were some really good questions. So I knew they were getting stuff out of it.
I know. I always benefit when I get to sit in and listen too.
If we could only correct all the Skype problems, but we joke with the kids. Obviously, whoever's monitoring Skype doesn't like what we're talking about
right now. I guess so.
So one other thing that I think is particularly interesting is as a result of the internet, as a result of Facebook, you actually acquired another missionary down there from a place far away, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, you know, that is just such a God thing, too, that Nathan is with us. Nathan Conkey from North Ireland via Korea. He has lived with us since March, and it's just been a real blessing, I have to tell you. And I remember sitting in the living room with Roger one night, doing our normal thing, eating in front of the TV, listening to Fox News or something, And I'm thinking, you know, that's really going to be different having, you know, somebody in the house. We don't know. It's going to just kind of change our lifestyle. And I had a little bit of anxiety, but it has been an absolute joy to have Nathan with us. It is certainly a blessing. He is helping us with the web management, with the Vision-Mexico, the website there, and he's also helping us with the English in the Learning Center, and the kids love his class. It's just
well, I have to say a couple of things about that, and listeners might appreciate this. I first met Nathan online as well, and he was working in Korea in a school, and his interest was reaching the marginalized people of the world with the message of Christian Reconstruction and theonomy, and that God's law is the way in which we serve and please God. And so I thought it was interesting that you had an Irishman in Korea. And then next thing I know, I hear he's on his way to Mexico to work with you guys. I thought, well, that's interesting. But what I noticed most is after Nathan arrived, all the students dressed better. I don't know what it was, but the girls came in looking very nice. And I'm like, what is different here? And they're like, oh, well, there's a new person who showed up.
That's always a good motivation.
I think so. Anyway, so I know that the Learning Center has, for various reasons, had to move to a new location. So there are some challenges coming up in September, correct?
That is very true. We're facing some challenges right now with that, yeah.
Right. So anybody who's listening, if they are interested in finding out more about what you're doing, whether it's to imitate what you're doing or if they're down your neck of the woods to come and see what you're doing, how might they get in touch with you, Marcy?
I think the best thing would be for them to go to vision-mexico.com, and that's our website, and that will have all the information, has articles on there, and they can get in touch with us through there. Also, the agency that we're with is with C10. That's Commission to Every Nation, and they can go on there and find out about us also.
Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing this. I hope it encourages other people. I know it always encourages me. You and Roger are like the grandparents of this learning center.
Yeah, we are that. We can be the parents to all the moms.
That's true. And I know when Roger is talking, because I can see it on the camera, they really do listen to him. And he is so passionate that he treats all of them as if they're his grandchildren.
Yeah,
it's really nice to watch.
It is. He's very good at that.
All right. Well, I know you're on summer vacation. Enjoy your summer vacation. I know you're going to be doing some traveling in the States, and I hope you have a very, very safe vacation and travel time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the time, Andrea.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.